إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه، بلغ الرسالات وأدى الأمانات ونصح الأمم وكشف الله بالغمم وتركنا على المحاجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. وبعد، فإن أفضل الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة في دين الله بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. اللهم أجرنا من النار. اللهم لك الحمد كله، ولك الشكر كله، وإليك يرجع الأمر كله على نيته وسره. اللهم لك الحمد كما ترضى، ولك الحمد إذا رضيت، ولك الحمد حتى ترضى، ولك الحمد بعد الرضا يا رب العالمين. اللهم لك الحمد ملء السماوات والأرض، اللهم لك الحمد فأنت رب العالمين. Ramadan Mubarak, my brothers and my sisters, to everyone. I begin in the name of Allah, and I send my peace and blessings upon the beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I remind myself and you, beginning with a testimony, that whomever Allah guides, none can misguide. And whomever is allowed to go astray due to their own wrongful actions, sinful desires and inclinations, none can guide back except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and my sisters, Allah has blessed us with the opportunity to witness another beautiful month of Ramadan. And that is a gift, and that is a blessing. And that in itself is an opportunity to be grateful. And I just want to remind us, subhanAllah, that just the last 3 days, we buried an 84-year-old woman, we buried an 87-year-old woman, a 97-year-old woman, and we buried a 3.5-year-old girl who was running around, that was told, in the masjid right before she was buried, subhanAllah, a few hours. This is dunya. It is not to be taken for granted. And death knows no age. And I do not mean to scare you, but I just mean to remind us of that which is certain, al-yaqeen, that each and every one of us, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut, each and every one of us will taste and experience death. So let us prepare. حاسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحاسبوا وزنوا أعمالكم قبل أن توزن لكم. So hold yourselves accountable before you're held accountable before the one who leaves nothing uncalled, unaddressed, and unmeasured. And weigh your deeds before they're weighed for you. My brothers and my sisters, I want to begin with the end of Ramadan. I want to begin by asking ourselves, how do I know that it worked? How do I know that I got the best out of this month? How do I know that my fasting, my prayer, my charity, my qiyam at night, alone and in public, how do I know that all of that was accepted? What are those signs that I should look for? And I want to begin with a few ahadith of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And I want you to listen to this carefully, my brothers and my sisters, because Ibn Hajar, he amongst others, highlight these ahadith in their discussion about the end of Ramadan. And the subtle connection is beautiful, subhanAllah. And it is mentioned from the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which is authentic. He says, the Prophet Muhammad says, Al-mu'minu ya'lafu wa yu'laf, wa la khayr fi man la ya'laf wa la yu'laf, wa khayrun nas anfa'uhum linnas. وفي الحديث الذي أخرجه مسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, من نفس عن مؤمن كربة من كرب الدنيا نفس الله عنه كربة من كرب يوم القيامة, ومن يسر على معسر يسر الله عليه في الدنيا والآخرة, ومن ستر مسلما ستره الله في الدنيا والآخرة, والله في عون العبد ما كان العبد في عون أخيه. These two hadith are very beautiful. And for the simple time, I will just translate very loosely. The Prophet Muhammad says, the believer is someone that people feel comfortable being around and feels comfortable around people. Easy to get along with and easy to get along with others. And there is no good in one who claims to be a believer but is not comfortable to be around and is not comfortable around others. And the best of humans are those who are best to those who are around them in humans. And sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also says in a hadith that is authentic, whoever lifts or uplifts a challenge, makes it easier, helps another Muslim or another believer through a challenge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lift a challenge or a weight upon them on Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the day of resurrection. Imagine every burden that you lift from someone, Allah lifts from you a burden on Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the day of resurrection. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and whomever makes it easy, whoever makes easy something for someone who's going through a difficulty, Allah will make it easy for that person in the dunya and in the akhirah. And we know the hadith of Ibn Umar, he says, if you see someone, Allah keeps giving them, and Allah keeps making things easier for them, know that that person is someone who's making it easier for others. And the more ease you add in other people's life around you, especially those who are closest to you, the more difficulties Allah will uplift, and the more ease Allah will add into your life. And the Prophet ﷺ, he adds, وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا, whoever is able to protect, shelter, keep hidden the affairs, the private affairs of another Muslim, made a mistake, you don't just publicize it and make a big deal out of it, you solve it, but you solve it with sensitivity, with taking the privacy of the individual into account. Confidentiality is key. So whoever does that with others, Allah will keep his affairs or her affairs private on the day of resurrection. And Allah is always at the help of the servant, so long as the servant is at the help of those who are brothers and sisters in humanity, as the hadith commentators say, and also in faith and in Islam. And the other hadith which I want to mention, subhanAllah, and I want us to really think about this. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentions, and this is mentioned, the hadith itself is mentioned in so many books, Muslim, Bukhari, mentioned in At-Tirmidhi, in Sunan Abi Dawood, and it's mentioned in different words, but the meaning is very similar. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, this is the longest one, أَحَبُّ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ وَأَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ سُرُورٌ يُدْخِلُهُ عَلَى مُسْلِمٍ أَوْ يَكْشِفُ عَنْهُ كُرْبَةً أَوْ يَقْضِي عَنْهُ دَيْنًا أَوْ تَطْرُدُ عَنْهُ جَوْعًا وَلَئِنْ أَمْشِي مَعَ أَخٍ لِي فِي حَاجَةً أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَعْتَكِفَ فِي هَذَا الْمَسْجِدِ يعني المسجد الحرام شهراً خير لي من أن أعتكف في هذا المسجد شهراً ومن كف غضبه ستر الله عورته ومن كظم غيظه ملأ الله قلبه رجاء يوم القيامة ومن مشى مع أخيه في حاجة حتى تتهيأ له أثبت الله قدمه يوم تزول الأقدام وإن سوء الخلق يفسد العمل كما يفسد الخل العسل. Allah, this is such a beautiful hadith. The Prophet Muhammad sallam, he says, the best of humans are those who are most beneficial to those who are around them. And the most beloved action to Allah. There's this hadith is mentioned, the most beloved actions to Allah, and the Prophet mentions a few. So this is among them. The most beloved actions to Allah include putting a smile on your brother's face and allowing your brother or your sister to be happy, to put happiness, to insert happiness in the heart of your fellow Muslim, or to remove a difficulty or a calamity from that person, or to pay a debt on their behalf, to relieve them from their debt, or to kick out, to remove hunger, to displace hunger that they're going through. And he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for me to walk with a person that is struggling, to walk, to be there for that person, not even to get it done, whatever they're looking for, but to try to walk with that person, to be there. That person is looking for money. You know what? I don't have it, but let's go together to the masjid and ask. Let's go to, let's try. We'll do this together. I got your back. I can't guarantee anything, but I'll try. For you to do that is better than 30 days of i'tikaf in this masjid. And when the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that sentence, he was pointing to the masjid in Nabawi. So I want you to imagine 30 days of i'tikaf in the masjid, Prophet's masjid, in which one prayer is equivalent to 1,000 prayers. Imagine the amount of good deeds. 5 prayers times 1,000 times 30, 150,000 prayers alone. Plus the other things that you'll do with i'tikaf, including istighfar and sunan, and even if you're fasting in the masjid, all of those things, all of that is not the same. It's better to go and to help someone and not even get it done, but to actually try to be there for that person. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he says, and whoever keeps his anger, her anger within, monitors himself or herself, Allah will restrain their anger or his anger to them on the Yawm al-Qiyamah. And whomever tries to go, listen to this carefully, whoever tries to go and actually gets it done, imagine someone is struggling and you go and you get it done, Allah will keep that person's feet steady on the day that everyone will be shaking. So imagine just that one act of helping someone that is desperately in need, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can grant you that certainty and conviction and steadfastness and certainty and calm and tranquility on the day that everyone will be shaking from the stress associated again with Yawm al-Qiyamah. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, and bad manners ruin good deeds as much as vinegar would ruin honey. Imagine when you have honey, beautiful, you add a little bit of vinegar and the taste is gone. So imagine someone has great deeds, has been worshipping Allah, has been praying and fasting and this and this and that, but when they have bad character, it's as if honey was again diluted with vinegar. Now why do I mention all these ahadith, my brothers and my sisters? Especially in the month of Ramadan. Isn't this supposed to be the month of fasting? Isn't this supposed to be the month that I don't care about anyone else? I just want to sit down in the masjid and pray to Allah. I just want to sit down in the masjid and read Quran. I just want to sit down in the masjid and ask for istighfar. My brothers and my sisters, Ibn Hajar, he says that the Muslim is not just focused on him or herself. The Muslim has a vision. Allah says, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas." You are the best of people that are sent out, not among the people, but for the people. You are the best people sent out lin-nas, for the people. That means you, as Muhammad ﷺ's followers, as people who say we are Muslims, submitted our will to the will of Allah, as people follow through the footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salam and others, we have a duty not just to be the best versions of ourselves in our relationship with Allah, but also for that to translate into being the most beneficial for those who are around us. And if you look at, subhanAllah, what Ibn Hajar and others have said, the success of Ramadan is shown in the excitement that you have after Ramadan in giving back and in being there for others. That is how you measure whether your Ramadan was successful or not. You have a re-spiked interest in wanting to help, in wanting to serve, in wanting to be there for others, in wanting to give back to others. That is one of the best ways to measure whether Ramadan was accepted or not. And let me give you an example from the Quran itself. My brothers and my sisters, listen to this carefully. When Musa alayhi salam left Egypt after accidentally resulting in the death, pushing a man, and that resulted in his death, accidental. Now, when he crossed the desert and he came to a new city, he found two women that were waiting aside, and they didn't want to immerse themselves with the rest of the men, and they were waiting to get water. So what did he do? He saw in himself the capacity to give. He wanted to help, even though he was homeless. He didn't have a home at the time. Even though he didn't have shoes, his shoes had been worn out. There was nothing. You know, sometimes people have this idea that in order for me to help others, I gotta take care of myself and then I'll help others. Let me take care of myself first and then I'll come and take care of others. And that's a good thing, and there's evidence for that in the Quran, but just listen to this carefully. Even though he had nothing, he went and he helped those two sisters. And when he did that, he didn't ask for anything in return. فَسَقَى لَهُمَا ثُمَّ تَوَلَّى إِلَى الظِّلِّ. After he helped them, he reclined back and sat back under the shade. And then he raised his hand and he made dua. رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. Oh Allah, I'm in desperate need of whatever good you could send my way. Now fast forward a few years. Musa is now a prophet, a messenger. He's been dealing with Banu Israel day on day. So many challenges, so many difficulties. And now what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends him on a mission with a righteous man, which the narrations say is named Al-Khidr. And we know the story. But I want you to imagine the last episode in the story. They come across a wall. That wall is broken. And when they come to the city, Musa and Khidr, they're very hungry. They have no money left, very little. So whatever money left, Musa, he thinks, man, we're here in a new city. The least they can do is give us some food. So let's ask. You know what? They weren't generous enough to offer. Let's ask. So they asked for food and the people refused. So Musa was upset. We're here as guests. We're here new. And we shouldn't have to ask for food. But when we do, you just refuse. Now what kind of lack of hospitality is this? On top of that, Al-Khidr, or the righteous man, he takes whatever money is left, he buys some equipment and some raw resources, and he starts building the wall. So Musa loses it. And the ayah, فَانْطَلَقَ حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَيَا أَهْلَ قَرْيَةٍ اسْتَطْعَمَ أَهْلَهَا فَأَبَوْا أَنْ يُضَيِّفُوهُمَا فَوَجَدَ فِيهَا جِدَارًا يريد أن ينقض فأقامه قال أي موسى لو شئت لاتخذت عليه أجرا. Imagine Musa, he says to Khidr, why are you helping them? The least you could do is ask for some money. Why are you helping these people? These people don't deserve it. The least you can do is ask for some money. So what changed? Musa, in the first episode, he came new to a city with nothing. Absolute nothing. And he was willing to help and ask for nothing in return and sat back under the tree and made dua to Allah. Ya Allah, I'm desperate in need, desperately in need of whatever good you can send my way. And after dealing with Banu Israel for all those years, it took a toll on him. And now, after serving for that many years, you begin to experience people's difficulties. It's difficult to deal with people. It's very challenging to serve people. Anyone who's in service, after a while, it's easy to become what? To become desensitized. To forget that it's an opportunity that Allah has given you. It just becomes a job, becomes mundane. And it becomes, again, easy to start worrying about yourself. Man, no one cares. No one appreciates it. These people don't listen. There's little khair in these people. It's very easy to let that take a toll on you. So imagine even Musa alayhi salam was affected by that to the point we had to ask Khidr, why are you doing this? You should be asking for money in return. So my brothers and my sisters, for any of you, the first time you're serving a community or you're giving back, you're excited. You're excited. Imagine the first time you read the ayah about giving back. You're like, yeah, I want to go, I want to help. But after a while, the first time you see someone that says they need help, let me take that money and then they use that money for drugs. Or they take that money and they don't use that money for what they told you they're going to use it for. Or they take that money and they lie. Or they exaggerate the situation. You begin to what? You begin to lose trust. Shaitan can enter and get you to think what? Man, everyone these days doesn't deserve it. What's the point? Just a bunch of liars, a bunch of exaggerators. And subhanAllah, wallahi, this is sad. And it happens even among institutions. In Hamilton, for example, one of the things that was happening when the new Syrian Refugees came in, like, what's the point of helping them? Why should we help them? When we came to the country, no one helped us, and we found our way by ourselves. So why should we give back? This attitude is not everyone, of course, had the attitude. Many people had the opposite, very ready to help. But the idea here, my brothers and my sisters, as mentioned in the hadith, there's a beautiful hadith that says this. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he says, المؤمن الذي يخالط الناس ويصبر على آذاهم أعظم أجرا من المؤمن الذي لا يخالط الناس ولا يصبر على آذاهم. The mu'min, the believer, who deals with people, mixes with people, and is patient with the harm that the people cause, whether it's emotional abuse, whether it's verbal abuse, whether it's lack of gratitude, whatever it may be. The mu'min who mixes with people and is patient with all of the hardships and the challenges that come with that and the lack of appreciation that comes with that is better and more significant in the reward that he or she gets. Better in the sight of Allah, and gets more reward than the believer who stays back and says, you know what, I can't deal with these people. And so my brothers and my sisters, remember that as an ummah, we have a mission. As an ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have a mission. We have a mission to give back to the communities around us. We have a mission to be known, not because we care about reputation, but because it's a responsibility from Allah to be known as people of goodwill, as people of generosity, as people of justice, as people of faith, as people of compassion, and as people that give back, and as people that are trustworthy, that are credible, that are professional, that are dedicated, that are able to combine between love, absolute conviction in their faith and in the submission to Allah, and also compassion and unrestrained love and mercy for all creations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on this earth. And then Ramadan is the key. Ramadan is the key. Why is it the key? Because Ramadan is the month of the Quran. And the Quran is a healing and a mercy to all hearts. Broken hearts, sad hearts, disappointed hearts, hearts that have been afflicted with sin and addiction. This is the month of purification. This is the month of deleting all of those things. This is the month of lifting all of those weights that weigh you down, that make you weak, that bring you down. Imagine, all of us are fasting and we have it in us. First few days is difficult, but you cope and you're able to do your tasks regularly. This is the month in which you realize your potential, that you have it in you, that yes, you can. That no, you didn't lose it. You still have it in you, that yes, you can. My brothers and my sisters, this is the month in which the angels are making istighfar for you from the moment that you start fasting till the night, at night when you break your fast. According to the hadith, angels are making istighfar for you. This is the month in which Allah decorates His Jannah. Hadith that is authentic. Allah decorates the paradise and makes out a call. Who is going to be admitted to this in this month of Ramadan? This is the month in which the shayateen are locked. No external influence. Just you, your whispers, and your qareeb. And whatever limited shayateen intervention from previous, prior to Ramadan. But the major whispers and provocation is gone. It's just you now. Right? You're in the perfect ideal. You're in the perfect space to regulate yourself and to assess yourself. This is the month in which the gates of Jannah are opened and the gates of hellfire are shut. This is the month in which there's a night of decree and a night of power that has, subhanAllah, a night that is better than what? 1,000 months. Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alf shahr. This is the month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for every night, will emancipate those who have been locked by their sin and allow them to exit the hellfire. Those who have been so sinful the rest of the year that if they were to die, they would go to Jahannam. But Allah forgives them all of that and gives them a fresh, clean start. This is the month in which, imagine, the night of power in which the decree for the next year, the everything that will happen in the next year is written. فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ. In the night of power, the night of Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, everything that will happen to you in good blessings, provisions, Great things that Allah will give you are written on Laylatul Qadr. So imagine taking the opportunity to make dua. Ya Allah, I want this year to be different. Ya Allah, I want this year to be an opportunity for me to be different, to be a better version of myself. And I leave you with the beautiful reminders, the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, narrated by Abu Hurairah and others. من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whoever does Qiyam in this month of Ramadan, imagine a whole month, you do Qiyam every night, every sin that you've committed, everything that you've committed prior to is forgiven. Imagine how amazing that is. There's another hadith, من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Subhanallah, whoever fasts Ramadan with conviction, knowing that Allah will forgive, and goodwill, good expectation, Allah can give me this forgiveness. Allah will forgive you. So you have two opportunities. By fasting sincerely, truly, your whole sins are forgiven. And at night, when you do Qiyam, if you do it sincerely, for the sake of Allah, all of your sins are forgiven. My brothers and my sisters, not only that, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he says, من قام مع إمامه حتى ينصرف كتب له قيام ليلة. Whoever stays with the Imam when the Imam is praying Taraweeh, and that's why there's a shift, usually the first 8 raka'at, and then there's another Imam that comes after, and then they keep repeating, or they keep switching. Whoever stays with the Imam, even if it's just the first Imam, you stay with the first Imam and you pray all of the 8, or you pray all the 20 if you can, Allah gives you the ajr, the reward of spending the whole night in Qiyam. And when you pray Isha and Fajr in the masjid, you get the ajr also of a whole night in Qiyam. Look at all these opportunities that Allah gives us. When you pray Isha and Fajr in the masjid, Allah writes for you as if you've prayed the whole night in Qiyam. And when you stay with the Imam for the 8 rak'ahs until he's done, you got another night of Qiyam. That means in one night, you can get the ajr of praying an entire night twice. Twice, subhanAllah. The opportunities in this month are so many, so many, that even if you're just starting now, you're just picking into it, it's not too late. It's not too late. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he says, أَفْضَلُ الصَّدَقَ فِي رَمَضَانِ. The best kind of charity that you can give is in Ramadan. To diversify your assets. Give every night when you come into the masjid, even if it's a dollar. Give to your kids, give 50 cents, a dollar, $10, 50, whatever you can. To each and every one of your children. Teach them, immerse it in them from the start. Diversify your investment. Look at any opportunity, a hospital that is being built, a school that is being built, a refugee center that is being built, Nisa homes that are being built, opportunities for the youth. Diversify your assets and give back. And remember the hadith of Abu Bakr and Umar, when Umar says, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was calling us to give for the sake of Allah. So I said to myself, this is the time that I'm going to beat. So Umar is saying, I'm going to beat Abu Bakr. So he says, I decided to give half of my wealth for the sake of Allah. And when we went and we gave to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ asked me, what have you left for your family? I said, I left half of my wealth. And then he asked Abu Bakr, what have you left for your family? Abu Bakr gave all of his wealth and said, I left Allah and his messenger for my family. And of course, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was the most generous of all peoples. وَكَانَ أَجْوَدْ مَا يَكُونَ فِي رَمَضَانِ حِينَ يَلْقَاهُ جِبْرِيلِ لِيَتَعَلَّمِ الْقُرْآنِ. And he was the most generous in Ramadan when he would meet Jibreel to learn the Quran. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لكم لسائر المسلمين. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salam ala Mustafa. My brothers and my sisters, to recap, spend as much time this month with the Quran. Read it, understand it, keep rereading. Give every single night of Ramadan something. Whether it's physical or metaphysical, give back. Give back from whatever Allah has given you. And spend as much time in this month with you and Allah, rekindling that relationship, rekindling that power and strength, so that outside of Ramadan, when it's done, you can come back refueled, re-energized, excited to give back, and excited to serve. And I finish just with a few announcements. As you know, with all the difficulties that are happening, financial difficulties with ISNA right now and the impositions, I'm requesting that on your way out, if you can make a small contribution, let us continue the giving, the spirit of giving, and to all the masajid that you have opportunities to, give back. And when you give back, make that intention, Ya Allah, I'm giving this and I hope that this is accepted. And the one who accepts on Laylatul Qadr can accept on all other nights, but especially in the last 10 nights, be extra generous, extra giving, and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if that subhanallah, yani, act of charity is sincere on Laylatul Qadr, imagine it's better than 1,000 months of giving. So whatever you're giving is multiplied as if you've given that amount for 1,000 months. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who give. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all that we give. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow our hearts to be transformed in this month. Ya Rab, Ameen. Allahumma ghafir lana dunubana wa israfana fi amrina wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna ala man adana. Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ja'alna subulan liman ihtada. Allahumma ghafir lana dunubana wa israfana fi amrina wa thabbit aqdamana ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. Allahumma taqabbal minna siyamana wa salatana wa qiyamana wa ruku'ana wa sujudana wa du'aana. واغفر لنا ذنوبنا يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعلنا مسلمين مؤمنين صادقين قانتين راكعين ساجدين آمرين بكل معروف وناهين عن كل منكر. ولا تجعلنا كاذبين ولا ضالين ولا منافقين ولا حاسدين ولا مضلين يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعل آخر كلامنا في الدنيا لا إله إلا الله محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رسول الله. واجعل آخر دعاءنا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. وانصر إخوانا المستضعفين في كل مكان وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا.